The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Now, you're very welcome back. So the Olympic Games still for the time being meant to be on this summer, but really I think the writing is on the wall. Canada and Australia have announced they will not be sending athletes to the 2020 Summer Games in Tokyo. And this was after a weekend where federations around the world were queuing up to say they thought that postponement was the only option. That included the US Swimming Federation, US Track and Field, obviously with NBC as part of the US lobbying group, and the $4 to $5 billion they bring from a TV point of view. US voice very strong when it comes to the Olympics. UK Athletics the same. New Zealand have said they would consider boycotting the Olympics if they open as scheduled. Here in Ireland, John Tracy last week, Chief Executive of Sport Ireland, said the Olympics had to be postponed. Even today, Sarah Keane of the Olympic Federation of Ireland said that they would have to look into the safety of training for Irish athletes. The official word, according to The Guardian, the IOC said yesterday that it was drawing up alternative scenarios for the Games, but was not considering calling them off. It said it would take up to a month to reach a decision. Although Dick Pound, speaking to USA Today, he's part of the IOC board, he said a summer of 2021 is what we're looking at. So Ciara McGeehan, Olympian and hoping to be one again, I'm sure, is on the line. How you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
So strange times, to say the least. It would seem that slowly but surely the IOC are going to have to postpone the Games. Are you hearing anything through the grapevine or officially?
Yeah, I suppose all the information that we're getting as athletes is exactly the same that you're getting. Everything that you read out is as far as my knowledge is of how things are going to go towards the Olympic Games. So we do get regular feedback from the IOC and from I get feedback from Athletics Ireland just about the protocols that they're expecting to bring about and really to try to reassure us that they're doing the best that they can to give us all of the information that we need going forward. But I suppose it's really up in the air for everybody, and until the International Olympic Committee make a decision, we're all waiting on bated breath.
I presume them making a decision one way or another as soon as possible would be helpful to you and to your life.
Most certainly, yeah. I suppose it's really tricky looking forward to the summer ahead. I don't really think there's going to be much of a racing season if we're being realistic about it. So therefore, it's going to be so much harder. I'm in a lucky position that I have my Olympic qualification time. I know that many other athletes don't. Other athletes haven't even went through the qualification process in other sports. So that's tricky for athletes that are going to try to qualify. I really don't think it's going to go ahead on the timescale that was originally planned. Hopefully it is postponed. I would be absolutely heartbroken if an Olympic Games was cancelled, because realistically you only get so many chances at an Olympic Games in your lifetime as an athlete. But yeah, it would be good if as athletes we knew just what to expect in a few months, that it would help people prepare mentally. And like I have teammates in Team New Balance Manchester that we're getting ready for Olympic qualification marathons, and we're halfway, if not nearly the whole way through marathon prep. And suddenly they're like, okay, we have to stop. The British marathon qualification was closed. They're not going to race it. So it is really hard mentally for those athletes. Like we put our lives on hold for our sport. It is our whole lives, I suppose. And at the same time, there's so much more bigger things with regards to Corona and COVID-19 that we all know. And it really puts sport into perspective.
I'm sure, yeah. I presume it won't be cancelled. I would think next summer is the most likely solution here. But it would be, I mean, I make it, you're just gone 28. So, I mean, this is kind of your peak effectively, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like this is, it's been a fantastic upward curve for me. And nobody likes to see upward curves at the moment.
Let's flatten that curve, Ciara, for God's sake. Let's flatten that curve.
Hopefully not my performance, but let's flatten the other curves. So I felt like this year was a really good year for me. Myself and my coach Steve had the really nice building blocks that we wanted going into 2020. 2019 was a fantastic year and I made my first world final. So I was really looking forward to going forward into 2020. But look, I think you always have to try to find the positives in things. I came away from the World Champs in Doha thinking, oh my goodness, what do I have to do to close the gap on the girls' head? And I knew that time was going to be the thing that I was battling against. I have more time now to get fitter, to get stronger. I'm going to view that as a positive. Athletes around the world now have more time to maybe focus on the things that there were their weaknesses. We just have to really manage that really carefully and figure out how we're going to process this whole next year in a sporting context. Yeah. It is really hard for athletes the world around, but we're all in the same boat. And to be honest, it's quite nice to know that we're all there together as a community of athletes, and really as a world community as well as a whole, that we're all fighting this together, and hopefully we'll come out the other side and try to minimise the number of fatalities.
Well, indeed. On the Olympic Games, for instance, they may be toying around with various scenarios. So they might say, well, you know, potentially November could be doable, or, you know, let's delay it by 2 months or 3 months or 6 months. The science of peaking I'm interested in, I can only presume it's very scientific and very specific at this stage. So would you as an athlete prefer, well, let's just put this whole thing on hold for a year? Or, like, would it completely mess you up if they just bump it back by 2 months?
Not necessarily, no. I think what would be hard in that case is the athletes that are really going to try to push for qualification time. For me, it's personally something that I don't mind. I have my QT and I could just focus with the same build-up. So let's say, for argument's sake, an athlete has a specific build-up into a championship. So for me, usually I have a winter block where I get strong and I do a lot of base work. So my coach likes to think of it as a cake. We would do a whole load of base work of strength, then we build another little bit of like aerobic, then anaerobic work, and the cherry on the top is me getting racing fit. And I necessarily maybe need six weeks to get really race sharp. So I can just work 6 weeks back from wherever they say, and I think most athletes would probably feel the same, provided that we know when we need to peak. I can compete in October. I've done it before. Commonwealth Games were in October previously. It does get hard whenever a Games is, for example, the way it was for the Commonwealth the last time round in March. It's an unconventional season for us. So I personally kind of would prefer a late track season at the end of the summer, as opposed to it switching to maybe a strange track season for me being in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But look, we'll take whatever comes. I can maybe foresee it being postponed by a whole year. That'll have another effect on other championships going ahead. Next year's a world champs year, and the cycle tends to work that Olympics is in a European champs kind of year. So, like, there's so many things. It's all so up in the air, and sure, we really don't know. But it wouldn't have, with regards to peaking, too much of an impact on me.
Okay. And what about training then? Has that been impacted? Are you doing it in groups? Are you on your own? Is it a solitary thing? I think over in Manchester and New Balance, are athletes kind of share a house and pitch in together a bit?
Yeah. So our group has definitely been impacted a little bit. There's three athletes right now live in the house, myself, Adam, and Yip. My teammate, Anna, literally just flew to Colorado to visit her boyfriend, Boris. He's in an elite athlete group over there. And that was right before the travel ban was brought in. So we don't know if Anna's going to get back. So she's stranded over in America, but she's in safe hands, and I'm sure she's happy to get to see her boyfriend for a little longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, so because us three live in the house, we're training together. We have teammates that are further afield. So Ross and Johnny, they live in a town over, so we're minimizing our contact with our teammates as much as we can. Luckily, athletics and running is quite a solitary sport in itself, so my life hasn't been changed too much. We still can get out for a run. We have a number of trails around here that are usually pretty quiet. I have noticed an awful lot more people out and about on them since everybody's at home, which is interesting to see. But people are respectful of the 2 meter core, like, kind of little distance, which is quite nice. We can pass each other, and we don't run too close either. I am lucky that myself and Yip train together. So we do most of our training together, and it's not a huge impact because we live in the same house, so we can be a little bit closer. If anybody's seen we've posted a few wee videos about what exercises that you can do. We've had some comments being like, what about the 2 meter quarantine distance?
And yeah,
whenever you sit at the same dinner table, yeah, that 2 meters doesn't matter.
You're your own mini unit now, I think.
Only little family. So we're not going to the gym that we usually go to. That was kind of decided as a team that we wouldn't go to. We're lucky enough to be supported by Life Leisure. We don't go there. They've actually offered to give us some equipment that we can bring into the house. We have a little room in the basement that we can use as a gym. Our coach, Steve, whenever he does come to training, so we have two training sessions a week, he keeps his distance. We had hill repeats earlier last week, and Steve was at the top of the hill calling out to us, and we were running up and down past him. So we're keeping those 2 meter guidance there. But luckily, we live a pretty low profile life anyway, so yeah, we're just not getting out for a coffee the way we used to. But we've tried our best to limit our trips to shops. We only go to the shop once a week to get groceries, and really doing as much as we can to try to stay in some way isolated, and not only to protect us, because I feel like we're all quite lucky. We're a young enough age group. If we get sick, we'll be relatively fine. I know there are some fatalities in younger people, but the town we live in has quite an elderly population, and it's more thinking of the wider community and the goodness that we can do just by minimizing our time out and not kind of being out and about in the community quite so much. So
yeah,
as much as we can, we're limited in that contact.
We could do more with that attitude. Have you been following the coverage very closely? A lot of people have been incredibly frustrated with the British response. Certainly, we seem to be a few steps ahead over here.
Yeah, I have to say, both myself and Yip's Dutch. So she's been following how things have been moving in Holland. Obviously, I'm Northern Irish, so I know what's happening at home in the north. My sister's a doctor. She's like surgical registrar up in the city hospital, and she's feeding back to me the type of stuff, that information that they're getting in the hospital. They're really prepping for something big coming, and I can sense her anxiety about it all. My mum works in the health service too. She's been getting briefed on what to do. My aunt is a pharmacist, and she's just been completely run down. So I'm getting all of that information from home. I have a lot of close friends and my boyfriend in the south of Ireland, and I follow everything that happens down there. And I have to say, I've been extremely proud of how the Irish have reacted, about how the Irish government have brought in all of the measures that they have. I feel like they've been extremely proactive. I have a little frustration that I feel that the British government weren't working quite as quickly.
No.
And therefore, I felt like I was banging my head against a wall trying to advise teammates in the past not to go out for a team dinner, for example. One that myself and Yip sat out of because we felt that it just wasn't appropriate. But people are learning, and it's something that you have to figure as a human as well. I can get frustrated at others if they don't pick up on things quite as quick as me. But as long as we hopefully all get to that point and we learn and we continue on a better path, then that's much better than being angry at people for maybe not making changes sooner. Hopefully people are learning. I am frustrated seeing pictures of people queuing outside chip shops, of hearing about young people still going out and socializing. And I'm trying to do my part as best I can to try to just get the message out there that really we need to have a little bit of social distancing. It doesn't mean you can't step outside. You can do it in a safe manner. We as athletes do it each day in a safe manner. We try to keep our distance from other people. We keep pretty isolated on a run. But just that message, don't be going out and having unnecessary journeys and meeting people you don't have to meet. And it's it can get a little frustrating, but I think we're getting there as a whole. And I'm a little bit scared and nervous about what's going to come. I feel whenever I'm looking at information that's coming from Italy,
yeah,
it literally hit them like an explosion. And I'm dreading to see what might happen and the consequences of that. And I just really hope that for everybody at home and everybody here in the UK, that we all stay as safe as we possibly can.
Yeah, it is that horrible, palpable sense of the calm before the storm at the moment, and we don't know how bad the storm is going to be. So hopefully it's nothing like Italy. But yeah, the fear is justified in some respects. Before we go, and you made the interesting point that, you know, if the Olympics are pushed back a year, it gives you more time to close the gap on a truly exceptional field in the 1500 metres women's at the moment, incredibly strong. So like looking at best times, for instance, so the 1500 metre world record is 3:50, give or take. I think it's 3:50 at the moment. Your best time, and do correct me if I'm wrong, the last time I checked was 4 minutes flat and 0.15 tenths of a second. And then say Sonia's record is 3:58.85. So what? Just under 2 seconds. So what I'm very interested in is the extent to which 2 seconds is attainable. Is 2 seconds improvement in a year for a 1500 metres athlete at 28 years of age as well. Is that like a crazy thing to expect you to be able to close the gap on it? Like, is 2 seconds a lifetime, or is it kind of semi-achievable in a year?
For me personally, I feel it's definitely achievable in the year. I feel that whenever I look at my progression through athletics, and I was only chatting to my coach about this during the week, we were talking about how you make jumps in training, jumps in improvements, and what he would have expected from me. So take, for example, we looked at my average kind of race pace and my average time. In the past, I had, after Rio in 2016, I knew I was in fantastic shape, had trained with Jerry, and we knew that I was in a really good place. I didn't make the final of the Olympic Games then, but I made the semi-final, and I came away from that championships and that Olympic Games bitterly disappointed, because I knew there was so much more in me. So I scrambled to get another race, got into a race in Paris, a Diamond League, which was a very big deal for me, and I ran 4:01. Huge, huge PB. I went from 4:06 to 4:01. Now, it wasn't a shock to me at all, because I knew I had the potential to be there, and I knew that my training showed. I just hadn't attained it in a race yet. So my average racing time was probably in and around 4:06, because I had one 4:01 and I had numerous 4:07s, 4:08s, 4:09s.
Yeah.
Fast forward to, say, last year, my average racing time is probably in and around 4:04, I think. I had that 4 flat. I had numerous 4:06s and another few 4:04s, I'm pretty sure. So I'm getting that average time down, and I'm getting that little bit closer to that special sub 4 for the 15.
Yeah.
Now, last year I was bitterly disappointed not to go sub 4, because I knew again that it was in me, that it was there. But as any athlete knows, it's you have to have the right race and you have to be in the right race. So for me, it's being in the right race and being in that shape for the right race. So I believe that I can get down to that Irish record. I don't know when. I believe I can do it in a year, but you have to have all of those aspects come together. And if it doesn't come next year, I'll be battling on to try to get it any other year that I have and have the luckiness to be able to run. So I believe it's definitely achievable. I feel like I've been knocking on the door of being a sub 4 minute runner for a long time.
Yeah.
I've had that potential and shown it for a long time, and hopefully I can just step up to the board and produce the goods.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you will at some stage. And a last one, have you run sub 4 in training, you know, or do you just need adrenaline realistically to run your best times?
So whenever you train, you don't really run a race. I've never run 1500 meters of race pace in training ever. Wow. I've done time trials where you go slightly below pace you're on pace, but for a lower distance. So say for 1000 meters or 1200, and similar for the 800. So I've definitely hit the pace that is required of me to do that in 1500. I just haven't done it in a race as of yet. So, and to be honest, my coach and each coach I've had, with Jerry and Steve, have told me this in the past, that I race so much better than I train. So my training says, okay, Kira's in 4:02 shape, and I'll go out and I'll bang out a 4 flat race. Yeah. And that's been consistent throughout my whole life, that I've been able to step up to the mark, and quite often at major champs. And I know I'd rather be like that than have all the goods out
100%
in a training session and nothing for a race.
Could you imagine the poor sucker who's like, I'm really good in training, honestly. That's not the way to be.
Exactly. Never raced it, never done it in training, but I believe I can do it in a race.
Okay, well, listen, we look forward to the day. So I guess everything's on hold at the moment and you're waiting on news the same as the rest of the world. Kira McGeehan, thanks so much for your time. It's really appreciated. Best of luck with things.
Thanks a million. The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.